Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's happening? Mike Schmidt, 40-year-old boy podcast. I don't want to talk about the news or the world, but unfortunately, it's the only game in town. Because I'm not doing anything any day all the time. I'm just in my apartment sitting around. Yeah. Look at me putting a song together in the beginning of the show for you. It's also Friday afternoon. I've waited for the gardeners to leave. This is the new thing. This is the new. This is the new real. This is the new. I had my buddy Drew Bennett. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. He wrote me. He's like, hey, man, what's the deal with the Fridays? Is that a thing? If it comes out on Friday, that's cool. I'm like, you're a good man. Thank you, Andrew. Tell the other people. Although nobody else cares. Right? We're still doing a podcast. We're still doing a thing. I don't know what I got for you today. I'm a little on fumes because, again, I don't know. As I've talked about every week, this show has just turned into, I don't know if you want to hear me yell about the world. And that's dumb, because maybe you do, but I also don't want to. It's a dichotomy. It's a weird contrast. I don't want to yell about the world. I wish I had a story to tell you. I wish I had a story about finger blasting some chick in an Uber or you know, even punching a guy at a traffic light. How great would that be? Wouldn't it be great if I went outside right now and punched a guy at a traffic light? Wouldn't you love that? And that's fucking, you know, we're talking, that's 15 year ago me. I did that kind of dumb shit. Which, by the way, that doesn't speak well for me because I was 37. That's real bad. 15 years ago, I'd punch a guy at a traffic light. Great. You were 37 years old. You were an adult. A lot of people had bought their first house by the time they were 37. What are you doing? You're punching a stranger in the clavicle. Good for you. Aren't you the best guy in the world? But that's what this show's been. It's been a journey. We're 12 years in. You've seen that I've changed. I'm a different cat now. Now I'm afraid to go out of my house. Before, I was all over the place. I'm like, yeah, look at me fighting at the grocery store. Look at me fighting at the post office. Look at me bouncing and hitting a guy in the head. And now look at me through my window, because you won't see me otherwise, because I'm stuck in my apartment unless I'm outside at the store buying things to make myself fatter in my goddamn apartment. And I know the world is opening up all over the place. I see it now, and I'm looking outside right now in an 80 degree day in Los Angeles, and I'm thinking to myself, why the fuck am I not outside? Why am I not doing some sort of cartwheel or a push-up? What if I did a push-up outside? Would that be better than punching a guy? Probably. And the scale of push-up to punching, what would you want to see me do? What would you want to hear a story about? You want to hear a story about me doing push-ups out there at the pool? Where more, all of my neighbors are deciding to hang out now, which is fucking weird. Like, I live in a building that's very, the battle lines are drawn. We all hide in our apartment. Nobody says anything. I barely make eye contact with people when I get the mail. There's a couple people I know. I barely know their name. There's a guy in my apartment complex who's got a very different type of name. So I'll never forget it. His name I'll never forget. And then, of course, there's the people who've been here forever. But then all the new people, man, I don't fucking know these people. There's a kid growing up in my apartment complex. I saw him when he was a baby, and now he talks. Like, that's fucking bananas, man. I'm just dying. That's all I'm doing. Every second of every day, I'm getting closer to death, as we all are. But me more so. Me double. Me not know, you do. What's that from Caddyshack? I think so. Me know, you do. Goddamn, Ty. Hold it together, buddy. All right, so here's the thing. This kid grew up, and he didn't grow up. He's not 17 or anything like that now, but he talks. Like, and he and his dad play monster games, you know what I mean? Where his dad will be like, coming to get you. And he's like, ah, ha, ha, dad, ah. And then they have their little masks on. And I got to be honest, man, I worry about that kid. This fucking world. This poor kid's got to wear a mask. And who the fuck knows what's happening in the world these days? And they're paving the way there. As I've talked about, there's all sorts of fossil fuels and fracking and other bunch of shit that I don't need to know about or care about. And why does everybody else have to be an expert on that sort of thing? Everybody, people are saving the environment. I get a buddy who's a comedian, but he also has like an environmental concern. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Hold on a second. Let me ask you. How favorable are the comment cards at your environmental concern? Are those going well? How's that going? What's the audience have to say about your environmental concern? Fuck. But that's what we're all supposed to be now, man. We're all supposed to be fucking Swiss Army knives with opinions about everything, and we're supposed to know all there is to know about fucking everything. And I just want to be, you know. Do you think Curly from the Three Stooges cared about the president? He didn't give a flying fuck. He didn't, man. He was the big man on town. He had a giant cigar the size of a fucking porn cock in his mouth, rolling around with the top down, hot chicks just fucking stroking his bald head, calloused fucking cheeks flapping in the wind from taking so many slaps from fucking Mo, but he didn't care. That was part of the business. That was part of the goddamn price you paid for fame. Curly got a callous face. Which, by the way, that if you're listening to me and you're in elementary school, yell that at somebody. Just make that your new taunt. Curly got a callous face. Curly got a callous face. Courtesy of Mo. I knew a Mo growing up. There was a Mo who lived next door to me. I was a kid. There was a Scott, a Steve, and a Mo. I've told the stories about them. That was Carol's kids. And then Carol and my mom went and beat up a neighbor. Actually, my mom beat up the neighbor. Carol was pregnant. All right, look, buy my CD. That's all I'm telling you. Buy my fucking CD. Because I got a bunch of them. I got them here. I don't have to go pick them up from a special thing, which was the record company that went ahead and put it together. Record company? Is that true? Publisher? Promoter? I don't know what. I'm not sure what a special thing is all the way. God damn you, yawns. What the fuck are you doing hiding in my goddamn head and leaping out during the goddamn broadcast? I'm going to say goddamn one more time and then I won't say it the rest of the show. God damn. If I say it again, call me on it. But this little kid who lives in my building is growing up. To what? To what? To what fucking earth? To what world? I don't know. And like I said, I'm a comedian. I don't want to care about the world ever. Nobody should give a flying fuck today. Everybody's like, Joe Biden is a racist. Joe Biden said, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Joe, and I'm just like, who gives a fuck? Joe Biden is a mush brain. Joe Biden's got a fucking skull full of cocoa wheats. And you're going to vote for that fucking guy? What the fuck? And yes, I know the alternative. That guy's a fucking nightmare too. Jesus, fuck. He said, church is essential. I demand the governors open the churches. It's like, look, I'm just going to parse this out. In the parlance of the Jesus people out there, let me ask you this question. And I don't want to do this because I don't fucking know. Again, Comedy Jones. You're opening the church to go what? To worship Jesus or whoever his dad is. And you're like, hey, God, what's up, man? It's been a while since we had to come to this special building to say hi to you. But now the president sees an issue in it. So now we're back in the special building because I know you don't listen to me when I'm at my regular house. Is that it? So Jesus doesn't listen to you at your regular house. Is that what I'm getting? I know people will be like, no, it's about the whole gathering of people and you can feel the Holy Spirit surging through everyone. Is it? Is it really that? Or is it the fact that the church wants to put out a fucking pizza pallet and have you throw money in it so they can go ahead and keep molesting kids? You tell me, man. I don't even fucking know. And I don't mean to be that guy. Look, I knew a priest once. He was a good guy. He was the one. I knew the one good priest. I can't, but I just don't know. That fucking priest would come visit me and bring food and shit like that. He never made a move on me or any of my brothers as far as I know. Father Bill was a good guy. And I'm sure there's other decent priests somewhere, but I mean, do that. Just answer my question. Does Jesus not hear me if I'm not in his special house? And also, here's what I say. If I'm going to the fucking church, if I got to go and sit and talk to Jesus, wherever the fuck, the first thing I'm saying is, hey, Jesus, it's me. Hi, Mike. Haven't heard from me in a while. Because again, not allowed in the special house. Well, I mean, I haven't come to the special house for years and years, but I also wasn't allowed in because of the pandemic. Hey, Jesus, did you hear about the pandemic? Yeah, that's right, germs. Did you invent those? Didn't you invent germs? Because you made everything, right? On the sixth day, you made fucking germs and you're going to throw them in my face like a goddamn handful of ball and jacks. So then I was going to have to bounce a ball and scoop up all the germs and try to throw them in the trash. The fuck, man? Didn't you invent this germ? Because here's the thing. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Explain it to me, Jesus people. Jesus made the germs. The germ's fucking up our world. It's doing all that. And you're like, no. Satan made the germ. All right, well, then why doesn't Jesus beat Satan's ass? Oh, you don't understand. You're right, I don't. If Jesus invented the germs, then he should stop the germs and we all should be okay. But if Satan invented the germs and Jesus is your boy, Jesus is your Mike Tyson, Jesus is your fucking heavyweight champ, then he should step up and knock the Satan guy in his ass and fucking kill the germs. Save us, man. Fuck this trial and error bullshit. I'm tired of Earth being a petri dish for Jesus' experiments. You know what I mean? Fuck this. Oh, he sent a hurricane to kill the gay people. Did he? Did he really? Well, then why doesn't he send a hurricane to blow away all the fucking germs and save the rest of us? Because kids are fucking dying, man. I don't get it. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and then there's always some weird fucking crazy limbo bar yogi no bone body way they bend themselves around it. Well, no, you don't understand. Jesus gave us free will and he wants to see how we deal with it. Oh, he wants to see? He wants to watch? So he's the watcher from Marvel Comics. He's just going to watch us all do a bunch of dumb shit and not interfere? But I thought Jesus loved us. If he loves me, why is he going to let me touch the stove over and over if it's hot? If your kid is a dumb fuck, he keeps turning the stove on and putting his hand in the fire, don't you eventually go, hey, buddy, I love you. Stop burning the fuck out of your hand. Let me ask you this. If your kid is turning on the stove and he keeps putting his hand in, do you get a notebook and a pen and stand off in a corner of the house and observe him burning the fuck out of his hand over and over? No, you jump in. But Jesus is off in the corner now with a fucking notebook and a goddamn pen taking notes about how he responded to this pandemic because he wanted to see how it would go. And look, I will tell you this. I respect Jesus or God or whoever the fuck's doing it. I respect them for that move where he's like, hey, watch this. You know, Jesus, like literally Jesus and God are just Johnny Knoxville and fucking Rab himself or even Bam. They're just the jackass guys. They're like, watch this. Watch if I do this. And they throw a bunch of germs at everybody and they go, ha ha, check this shit out. Let's see what happens. That's all there is, the let's see what happens guys. Jesus and God are like, let's see what happens. And I know you're going to go, no, you don't understand. The devil came. Boo. The devil came with germs. Boo. And he threw them upon you to see what you would do. He wanted to kill us all. But Jesus loves you. And he will accept you into heaven when devil's germs kill you. And then you can get to heaven and go, Jesus, why the fuck didn't you save me from the devil germs? And he'll be like, I wanted to see what would happen. Because that's what Jesus does. Because he stares at you like you're a science experiment. Jesus can't get involved. He's like, nah, man, can't do it. Can't do it, man. I can't. You know, Jesus is Tom Hagen. Hey, can you get rid of the germs for old time's sake? Can't do it, Sally. Not going to happen. So guess what? We're all going to get in the car and get the fucking two in the back of the head or the piano wire treatment. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to take notes. He's going to write about how he reacted. Hey, that guy died funny. See how that guy died? He died funny. What do you mean he died funny? Look at him. That's from fucking what? Departed. Hey, she died funny. What do you mean? Hey, Francis, you need to see someone. I need to see someone. I need to see Jesus come down here with a fucking magic wand and cure this fucking pandemic so I can go outside again and play baseball or whatever the fuck. And look, I don't play baseball, but I'll take it up again. Here's my deal to you, Jesus. You fucking cure the germs, I'll buy a bicycle. How about that? Let's do that. That's a trade. Although I did look for bicycles, I'm not going to lie to you. I was looking for bicycles because I'm like, look, I'm just sitting inside waiting for my heart to explode. That's all I'm fucking doing. I'm layering on fucking rolls and rolls of fat. You know what a Swiss roll is? You ever see that? It's like a piece of cake and they spread it with a bunch of frosting, then they roll it up so it looks like a bullseye. That's what I am right now. I'm just a Swiss roll, a big, and if you cut me open, you'd see it. There's just layers and layers of disgusting, unctuous fat that needs to get fucking stripped off. I literally, like I said, I used to be a suit of armor wrapped in bologna. That suit of armor is now, we're starting to lose our toughness a little bit now. Now we might be a suit of aluminum. Might be a suit of aluminum wrapped in bologna with a crisp candy shell just underneath the fleshy surface because I have eaten so much disgusting fucking terrible candy and carbs. What a fucking pandemic. Everybody else got the coronavirus. How about the carbonara virus? The carbonara virus. That's what I would like. Oh, that's good. I'll have a carbonara virus, please. Just go ahead and just mix an egg in with my germs. That's a carbonara virus. Bacon, egg, and germs with pasta. Mix it the fuck up. Ah, dudes, what's happening in this fucking world? I looked into buying a bike. I did. I went online and look, I'm not going to lie to you. I've thought about bikes in the past. I'm like, hey, maybe I'll get a bike. That'll be a cool-ass thing to do. But I'm all worried because, you know, I'm a fat dude. I don't want to bend the shit out of something. You know, I'm going to get a bike and then I'm going to be like, yay. And then I'm going to sit on it. And it's just going to fucking crumble beneath me. And just I'm sitting on a pile of twisted wreckage. Everybody's like, oh, fatty broke his bicycle. Curly with the callous face. Fatty broke his bicycle. Can't decide what'll be the name of the show. It's going to be one of those, right? Shouldn't it be one of those? Unless I'd like come up with something else a little bit later. Whoa, what if that happened? What if I came up with something else even better? That will never happen. Nothing's better than fatty broke his bicycle. Curly with the callous face. All right. So that's the thing, man. I looked for bikes and then, you know, I'm not dumb. All right. I Googled like big and tall bikes because that's another weird thing. First of all, even if I just get like a regular bike, whatever the fuck, I don't want the seat. That's the thing is like sitting on that little fucking bike seat, that just goes right into your anus. I mean, that's just like fucking terrible. There, those things. And look, maybe look, you with the pert ass, you ladies with your beautiful G-string laden thigh gap, perfect asses. You can sit on the bike seat and it looks perfect on you. You're looking great. I'll tell you what, fat bottom girls are at the bicycle races, but they're uncomfortable because those seats are not good for fat bottom girls or fat bottom gents. And I, being a fat bottom gent, do not want to go ahead and leap onto a bicycle. And like I said, first of all, crush it into a paperweight. And second of all, have the fucking seat disappear up my ass. That's no fun for anybody. And by anybody, I mean me and the guy who's got to get it out of my ass, because I'm not doing that by myself. If I saddle up on a bicycle and all of a sudden I'm riding, then I hit a bump and the seat goes all the way into my anus. First of all, painful. I'm going to look. I've not taken one in the ass for the team for anybody. I'm just going to say that right now. So I know on porn some people seem to enjoy it. I know the reputation is that it's very painful and it's not a good thing. I've been on the other end of the stick in those instances where I've been involved, and I don't want to get into that with you guys. And the people I was with seem to enjoy it, which is fine. I just don't think that I'd be good at taking it rather than giving it, is my point. So I guess what I'm saying is if I could jam my dick into a bike seat, yeah, there you go. No, I'm gonna. But if my bike seat goes up my ass, oh, Jesus, that's painful. But even more painful is the guy who's got to extricate it from me. The guy's got to put put a fucking arm condom on and just, and you ever seen when they fucking go up a horse's ass? You ever see that? They put a fucking arm condom on and they go all the way up the horse's ass or whatever the fuck. I can't remember if that was like because the horse was giving birth, they were stimulating the horse's prostate to get him hard or whatever the fuck. I don't know. This might say a lot more about my internet browsing than I care to. But bullshit, that was a documentary where like you see, it's like a horse breeder thing, right? Where they have to go all the way in the horse up to the elbow or whatever the fuck. Well, if I'm riding a bike and the seat goes all the way up my ass, somebody's going to have to go ahead and strap it on all the way up to their elbow and reach in and pull out the bike seat, which is not going to be fun for, like I said, anybody, me, them, you, anybody, everybody, everybody. Yeah. All right. I don't know, man. I see this kid in my apartment building and I feel tremendous sadness because I think he's 2 or 3 now. What age are you when you're still riding around your dad's shoulders? It literally, his dad just walks and they're both wearing their matching masks. And that to me is just, and I know I'm overthinking it, but that's just devastating, man. You know, because again, we don't know what the fuck is going on. And if you're a dad with a kid or a small, even look, if you've got regular kids who are fucking 20 or whatever the fuck, you're just like, man, this sucks. What's going to happen in this world? But if you got a kid who's 3, I mean, I guess maybe you got to hold out hope. They're like, ah, you know what? My baby's the one who's going to change all this, right? I guess that's what you're thinking. You're like, ah, yeah, it was smart of me to have a child during this global Holocaust. I'm so happy I brought a new life into the world just before this pile of germs was scattered, just before Jesus made it rain with germs on the Earth Strip Club and showered them down upon us. And again, I'm telling you, it's Jesus. He did it. Don't give me the devil did it. There's no way the devil's sneaking around with his red horns going, yeah, watch this. The devil did not tie all of us to the fucking train tracks, all right? Jesus, that's your guy. That's the omnipotent one. He can see us. He's around all the time. They created us. They live in the sky. They peer down on us with their fucking God telescope or whatever the TV uses. I don't fucking know how Jesus sees us all the time. And I understand there's a quiet confidence you have where you believe in the Lord and his minions and all that fucking stuff. And he's your shepherd. You shall not want. I understand all of these things. That's fine. But please, somehow you got to sit me down and explain why he wants us all dead. Why is he constantly sending things to kill us? Earthquakes and hurricanes and pandemics and germs. And I know you're going to be like, well, you know, the humans created the germs because the Chinese ate a bat. So, I mean, I guess you're hanging in on their guy. Who's their guy? Buddha? Is he saying Buddha sent the germs? Well, again, Jesus knows, Buddha. They got to go to the fucking God bar or whatever the fuck and have a goddamn drink and stare at one another and talk. And look, they don't die. They disagree on shit all the time, but they still get along. I'm sure the lamb is there. Fucking Vishnu shows up with eight arms and they're having a talk, right? And is Buddha like, hey, you know what? Here's the thing, Jesus. I don't know if you know this. I'm going to go ahead and come up with a germ that kills a bunch of people like all over the fucking world. I think it's going to be hilarious. And is Jesus like, yeah, cool. I mean, because he has to be, right? Because if Jesus is your guy, if Jesus is your champ, if Jesus is your fucking, the big Dukeroo, if Jesus is your fucking Rocky Marciano, man, if Jesus is your Ali, then he's got to knock the fuck out of the Trevor Burbick that is the Buddha, right? Doesn't he just fucking lay him flat? Especially if he's been told that his fucking science experiment is about to go overtaken by the Buddha's own science experiment. Unless they're all in it together. Unless there's, you know what I want? I want somebody to fucking make a painting of like Allah. I know you can't, you'll get killed. Allah, Buddha, the Dalai Lama, Jesus, Vishnu. Who else is there? Who's the Mormon dude? John fucking Hopkins. No, that's the fucking medicine dude. Who's the Mormon guy? Brigham Young? Might be him or John, whatever the fuck. That's seven. That's a decent poker game. Paint them all playing poker on velvet, like the fucking, like the dogs playing poker. You ever see the dogs playing poker painting? What if you didn't? What if you had no idea what that was? What if the first time in your life you ever heard about dogs playing poker and it was from me on a stupid podcast and you were like, dogs playing poker? Why, that's unheard of. And then what if, even better, what if the first time you'd ever heard about dogs playing poker on velvet or whatever as a painting was right now, this instant? You're like, fuck, what is that? That sounds stupid. But then what if you Googled it, you saw it and you went, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, and you bought it immediately? Let me ask you this. Do you cut me in on this, on the sale? Do you credit me in some way? Do you write me a note and go, hey, Schmitty, I got to be honest with you. Dogs playing poker. Never occurred to me. Never saw it. And then I Google it. Funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Bought it. It's up in my den now. It's up in my man cave, which, by the way, is doubling as a fallout shelter as we hide from the germ. my man cave. I've got my New York Rangers Stanley Cup banner hanging up. I've got my New York Giants signed Lawrence Taylor helmet. I've got a wall-sized TV to watch sporting events. And also my mother-in-law's down here hiding in terror from the germ. Your man cave gets a lot less cool when you've got your fucking relatives hovering in fucking terror because they're worried the germ will get them. Yeah, my here's my man cave. Oh man, I got a fucking Walter Payton fathead, and I got a signed game used Jay Cutler jersey. It's fucking awesome. I have the first pair of Jordans ever. I've got them under glass, man. Fucking Jordan 1s. They're fucking beautiful. And then I got a stick from Stan Mikita, which is fucking right in the fucking thing with a Bobby Hull. It's I got three sticks in one tall case. It's a Mikita in the middle with a Bobby Hull and a Brett Hull flanking it. It's so great. A Golden Jet and his son, and then, you know, Stosh right there in the center. It's so good. And then I got an Ernie Banks Let's Play 2 and a Frank Thomas Big Hurt fucking signed bat in another case. My man cave is gorgeous. And and that's where my three cousins are sleeping because they're terrified they'll be murdered in their sleep by the germ. Good for you. Your Chicago Sports Museum has turned into a goddamn pandemic hovel. Way to go. Way to get these fucking guys in there. They dig in like ticks. You're like, oh man, I was going to go downstairs and watch the fucking 85 Bears-Rams NFC Championship game. You know, the fucking snow. And then when Wilbur fucking brought in the touchdown, it was so fucking great. You know, and Dieter Brock came to town, didn't know what to do with the snow. But I don't want to wake up my aunt. She's down there because she's terrified that she's going to die in her sleep because of the germ. And I got news for you, man. Your man cave ain't keeping out the germ. Your man cave ain't keeping out the vid. The fucking vid is lurking. The 19 is right outside your door at all times. Don't go outside. Don't do it. Don't leave. Don't do it. Don't COVID-19. Don't do it. That's from Heathers. Instead of teenage suicide. Don't do it. COVID-19. Don't do it. A lot of singing on this week's show. And by singing, I mean me yelling in a very off-tune way. But I don't care. I'm trying. That's how I handle my business. I try to sing into the middle of the night. The music of the night. Church is essential, folks. Please go Sunday. Do that. Clothe yourself. Anoint yourself in oils, lots of oil. Make it run like water, hot to boil, because I made him play it, made him say it, made him okay it, made him obey it. Huh, the prince of the growl is on the prowl. How you like me now, punk? You're living foul. Killing's, oh, dude, never mind. A washed-up rapper needs a barker. My name is Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper. That's me doing LL Cool J. Take that. Check out the way I say my, display my, play my. J on my back behind the cool without the AY. One of my favorite fucking passages ever in the history of rap. Let me do this. Give you a drum roll again. I don't know what that does to your ears. Is that like ASMR? What if I did that over at night? Just... Is that like a weird, like a, is that soothing or is that bad? Does it vibrate your inner ear? Sounds like a helicopter. What if I did the traffic and weather together? Well, nobody's on the street. They're all hiding in the man cave because they're terrified of the germ. 41 degrees outside, which seems, that's Celsius. No, that's Fahrenheit. No, it's Celsius. Oh my God, we're all going to die. All right. I couldn't think of a better number than 41. She's 41, but her daddy still calls her baby. This is my brain just fucking unleashing. And I just, my head's like a fucking t-shirt gun, man. It's just shooting shit into the stands. Open it up, you got a prize. You're all in the stands. I'm just driving around. Just fucking firing. Goddamn t-shirts. All right, what was I going to say to you guys? Something important, right? Church is essential. Please remember that. Go this weekend. Go ahead. Hang out with all your neighbors. Breathe in their faces. Shake their hands. Do me a favor. Here's the thing. Instead of, you know, when you bid somebody peace, isn't that a handshake deal, right? I went to Catholic Church a few times. So bid somebody peace instead of from now on. Here's what I say to you guys. You really want to prove something? You want to go, hey, you know what? Fuck this germ and I don't care. Also with Jimmy Crack Corn. There's two things I don't care about. Fucking this germ and Jimmy Cracking Corn. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Fuck this germ and I don't care. This is the musical episode of this week's. I like this. This is not bad. It's a musical episode of this podcast. Musical seems strong. Again, just tuneless shouting, but that's all right. I can live with that. When you bid somebody peace this weekend, you know, you shake their hand or whatever. And I know some jerk is going to show up with gloves or a mask at the fucking church. And everybody's going to be like, boo, Jesus saves. Why should you? Because again, I don't understand. If we have free will. All right, let me get this. I got to ask this. We have free will, right? So if it's free will to wear a mask, then why can't somebody just wear a mask? And it's free will to not wear a mask. That's fine. Don't wear a mask. That's cool. If you're content with killing somebody's fucking uncle, that's fine. Do that. Because your breath is a weapon, which is my favorite Pip Benatar song. Breath, 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 breath. That's a weapon. I see all these videos of these people screaming about how they want to go shopping without masks. And then the store's like, yeah, no, you can't come in. And then they're like, oh, really? Well, fuck you. I'm going to sue you. Because this is who we are as a people. This is who we are as a fucking nation, as a fucking species. Let me do what I want or I will sue you. What the fuck? Dude, 1980 was the death of this country and the death of the world, quite frankly, because Ronald Reagan came in and greed is good and welfare queens, and then they fucking ruined everything. And that's when they started to really pit the poor against the fucking rich. And by the way, I know somebody's going to write me some history lesson and go, well, actually, in 1971, yes, all right, I was four. What the fuck? I just know in 1980, I was 13 years old and Reagan got elected and I loved him because I thought he was a big ass cowboy and we're going to fuck up Iran. That's all I wanted to do because I was 13. And then we started talking about welfare mothers and all this stuff. He's like, yeah, you know, these welfare queens are stealing all the money. And in my brain, I was like, my mom was on welfare and, it wasn't fun. Please don't pretend like welfare is a great thing for people to abuse. I mean, maybe people do abuse it and that's fine, whatever the fuck, then take care of whatever you got to do with that. But most of the people on welfare, guess what? We needed it. My mom had five kids by herself because her fucking drunk husband was busy slowly killing himself with bottled poison up in fucking Wisconsin and couldn't be bothered to give $1 or one fucking dime to buy his kids fucking shoes. So my mom had to work fucking 50 hours a week at a butcher, in a butcher shop, a fish market, whatever the fuck you want to call it, inside a grocery store. And as she did that, she had to get some food stamps to try to supplement her income because, you know, she'd bring home food as much as she could, which she would buy her food. But also she fucking, she needed milk and cheese and whatever the fuck else the church brought by it. All those fuckheads. You know what I mean? It's just, poor people are not the enemy. They're not the fucking enemy. They need help. God damn it. So I don't get it. I don't understand a lot of it, but I see these ass fucks without the masks. And they, like, there was a clip, there was a woman who went to a fucking, Gelson's, which, by the way, is that really cracked me up. She's not even at like some fucking ratchet grocery store. You know what I mean? She's not at a fucking, I'm not going to say it because everybody's going to, why is that a ratchet grocery store? Mike's canceled. Schmitty got canceled today because he claimed it was a ratchet store. Whatever the fuck. I mean, look, there are some stores that you drive by that look shady or whatever, like Nick's Market or some shit like that. You're like, because again, bodegas, like let's talk about a bodega. All right. I'm sure they got all the stuff you need, but there's a cat who lives there and he's eating everything off the floor. Is that safe? Is that sanitary? No, it's not. Are you going to buy fresh produce from them? Yes, you are, because it's the only thing there. You're food insecure if there's four bodegas around, but no giant fucking palatial estate goddamn grocery store. But I mean, if you go to a Gelson's, which is basically just Jewish Trader Joe's, that's all Gelson's is. And so this woman's trying to get into Gelson's and there's a dude outside and he's like, he's got a mask on and he's like, nah, I can't come in. She's like, I demand to see your manager. So they get the fucking manager. It's like a 5-minute clip and I don't watch the whole thing. I'm jumping through it because I'm so tired of just seeing people piss and moan, which believe me, the irony is not lost on me when you hear this fucking show, because it's all I've done is piss and moan for the last fucking 3 months, 12 years, whatever, 6 of 1. So fucking, this woman's like, I want to go into the store, please, and I want to purchase something that's delicious. And they're like, no, you can't. Sorry, you gotta have a mask. Why would I have to wear a mask? This is America. I can't believe you'd have me wear a mask. Why would I ever do such a thing? Well, because you want to keep people alive, maybe yourself, maybe your friends, maybe people you're related to, maybe people I'm fucking related to. You ever think about that? You ever think about outside of your little sphere? You ever think that maybe somehow, some way, somebody in here is immunocompromised, but needs to fucking work because they're an essential quote-unquote worker, and so maybe you wearing a mask is the smallest, least amount of respect you can show to the person who actually had to climb out of their fucking bed today and throw a mask on to come and sell you fucking grapes, you fucking cunt. What is wrong with you? The world does not revolve around you and whatever the fuck you have living in your goddamn house. These people in this grocery store have been deemed essential. They've been sent to their deaths to sell you crackers. The least you could fucking do is wear a goddamn mask as some sort of respect, some iota of showing them that you care about their plight. Do you care about their fucking plight? No, you don't. You fucking walking smile. You ridiculous head of blonde fucking hair. You dumb fuck Dana Point ridiculous half rich motherfucker who's probably got a pool inside of her pool, and you're gonna fucking show up and not wear a mask because you what? You live in America? And it's insulting. And the best part is like the dude's like, you can't. She's like, I want to see the manager. The manager comes out. He's like, yeah, we can't. It's policy. And she's like, that's unconstitutional. Oh, really? Is it where in the Constitution does it say you can come into my place of business and buy a jar of goober grape whenever you fucking want? It doesn't say that, motherfucker. It's not in the Constitution that you get to shop at a store. It's fucking bananas how they always forget. Like when it's for them, they're like, oh yeah, the Constitution, you're not going to believe it, the rules. And then everybody's like, well, yeah, but we refuse the right to refuse service. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. No shoes, no shirt, no service. We just added mask to the sign. No shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service. Because I'll tell you what, if that fucking Dana Point ass fuck was in there and a dude walked in with no shoes and no shirt on, she'd be like, I'm outraged. I can't believe it. How could I possibly purchase kale in this establishment if his disgusting cuticles are on display? Throw him out! Tackle him! Beat him to death, please! Here, use this fennel frond and jam it into his mouth so he chokes on it. A tasty licorice death. Fuck. So she's yelling at the fucking guy who runs the goddamn Gelson's, and he's just like, and all, even worse, she's not even yelling. She's doing that dumb shit about, oh, well, I'm okay. I'm not mad. I'm just going to sue. You're opening yourself up to a big lawsuit. And the dude's just, look, you know who that is? That's fucking Steve, the manager. He's, or Cliff, whatever his fucking name was. He doesn't give a fuck. You know what? Honestly, he's probably in his mind going, please sue Gelson's, please. Please win everything so we have to close down so I can go home and I'm not deemed essential, so that this tiny little strip of fabric that's over my mouth is not the only thing keeping me from dying as you breathe in my fucking face complaining about the fact that you can't come in here and buy a fucking box of Special K, you fucking skank. Please shut us down. They're begging you. The Gelson's employees would love for you to win your lawsuit. Go call a lawyer. That would be, I'm sure, in Dana Point too, because again, Dana Point, literally, you know what they're fucking, Dana Point, when you move in, you open your mailbox and there's $5,000. They're just like, hey, welcome, you made it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know how in prison you got commissary? So someone's got to send you money and they fund you with stuff so you can get it. And in Dana Point, they just give you the money. It's like the city has its own commissary. Here's $5,000 to spend on local merchants. Please go buy some chocolate covered money. That's what we've got. We got a pile of it. Go to the bank and get chocolate covered money. Go get some fucking ridiculous vanilla scented cash. You fucking dumb fucks. You rich. You won. You won. You're rich. You live in Dana Point. Don't yell at the grocery store guy, you fuckhead. And also, put on a fucking mask. Again, it's literally the least you could do. And it's not for you. If you want to get sick and die, that's fine. But don't you recognize that at this point, as I just said, breath, 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 breath is a weapon. You could wind up wiping everybody out. You could, your uvula could be patient fucking zero. There could be germs just bungee jumping off of your uvula down the rest of your throat. And when you cough or sneeze or even fucking breathe, it's going to kill someone named Jose who had to come to work that day. Wear a fucking mask. I love these people who are like, it's weak. I live in America. I don't want to wear. I talked about this last week. It's like, you fucking idiots. And again, like I said, I just keep repeating it. And I don't mean to keep repeating it, but every fucking week, every fucking day, you just see these people doing the same shit. This stuff today where Trump's like, church is essential. And people are like, yeah, exactly. I want to worship. Worship at home, motherfucker. Do some closed circuit Jesus bullshit, whatever the fuck. Grab your cell phone. Call him up. What's his number? I don't even fucking know. Call him. Yell. Just yell. I was told you could pray silently. So that means not only is Jesus a magician, but he's a fucking mind reader. So if he can do all this shit, if Jesus is this fucking ridiculous goddamn Swiss Army knife of everything, he's a magician, he's a mind reader, he's a benevolent leader, but he's also a demon who will fuck up the devil if he tries to kill the rest of us. I mean, if he's all things to all fucking people, then good. Why do you need to go to a fucking building to talk to him? No, you see, you don't understand. Jesus is terrific and he can do a lot of stuff, but he doesn't really hear you very well unless you're surrounded by stained glass. That's very important for Jesus' hearing. How does that correlate? Well, I don't know. You'll have to talk to the Lord, and the Lord works in mysterious ways, so he'll never tell you. But he does want you to go to that building that costs $10 million in order to reach him. Oh, really? Can't get Jesus on a payphone, can you? Nope. You got to go to the $10 million building with the... you know what? Jesus really enjoys when you talk to him in a building filled with effigies of himself. That's what he wants. He demands that you see... You know what? And especially right there at the front of the church, he really, truly hopes... I mean, look, you're not in a real church unless at the front of the church, You have a living statue of Jesus at the worst possible moment of his life on this planet. Could you get that? Could you do that, please? Could you just hammer in a bronze Jesus onto a goddamn gold cross? Because I guarantee you, that's going to get his attention. He'll definitely listen to you then. You must be in a room where at the front of it, there's him naked with nails in his fucking hands. Now you're talking. Now you got the man's attention. I mean, Jesus is upstairs with his fucking PS4 and he's playing games and shit. And when he hears, hark, what's this? People are calling my name in a building that has photos of me, pictures of me, stained glass of me. And not only that, but a ridiculous statue of me getting nailed to a fucking board because they thought I stole a fucking donut or whatever the fuck happened in that book that I didn't write. I better go listen to them. Oh, and what are you all praying for? Oh, you want the germ to end. Oh, don't you? Well, you know, this is weird. This is going to be strange. Get this. I'm Jesus. Listen to me now. You want the germ thing to end, right? You want people to stop getting sick and you want the pandemic to come to a close. Okay, cool. Here's the first thing you should do. Stop showing up in this building. Because all of you are here and you're all breathing in this same place. And this is just now a holy germ chamber. That's all it is. You're just breathing in each other's face. You know what? You bid him peace and you bid him peace. You know what you're doing? You're bidding him death. You're shaking him hands, his hand with your death hand, and then he shakes somebody else's hand. Literally, the bid you peace is just going to spread corona. The fucking 19 is going to spread through the church from bidding people peace. This is the trick. This is the joke. This is God's cosmic prank that he's playing on you, motherfuckers. You're going to go to the building where he fucking... the room where it happened, where they hammered him to a board, and then you're all going to shake each other's hand and be like, aha, peace be with you, and also with you, and also with you, and also with you. Death, 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 death shakes abound. Look at you guys, throwing fucking death shakes at one another and not even caring. Because it's essential that we go to the church and we talk to Jesus and we say, hey, buddy, where you been? Things are shitty down here. Anybody want to come and help us, you fuck? Oh, it's the devil's doing. Okay. Well, then again, I quote Al Pacino. He's an absentee landlord. If the devil is wreaking havoc with this germ, where the fuck is Jesus with the goddamn meds? Jesus, take the wheel. of the medicine truck and drive it to everyone's house and cure them of this fucking disease. Because if Jesus is just letting you guys be sick, you got to wonder about him, don't you? Don't give me that free will bullshit. Because what? It's free will for you to not wear a mask. Cool. But then when someone wears a mask, you sneer at them and you call them weak. Ridiculous. And look, I'm telling you this now. Do whatever the fuck you want. I've said this long. It's like, remember when I talked about steroids in baseball? I was like, I will not be happy. Jack them all up. Put everybody on the gas. I will not be happy until two outfielders are running for a fly ball and collide and explode on the field. They're so jacked up with fucking decadurabalin. I don't care. Lay out these Winstrol motherfuckers. Breads and circuses. But at the same fucking time, I also recognize that there's consequences to all this bullshit. I mean, if you told me I could stick a needle in my balls when I was a kid, if I was 13, you're like, hey, do me a favor. Start cycling. Go on roids right now. You'll be fucking amazing at baseball. And you'll have 20 years of making $20 million a year. And then after that, you can retire. But then when you're 60, things aren't going to be great. I got news for you, man. I would absolutely mortgage the back fucking 20 for the first 60. I wouldn't give a fuck. And I think that's true of every young person. Nobody's wrapping themselves in modesty as a child or thinking to themselves, I'm going to live a chaste, quiet life, and then I'm sure I'll enjoy my old age. Nobody gives a fuck about that. We're pushing shopping carts down a hill toward a window. I mean, we're fucking nuts. So I understand the instinct of young people now. It's like, fucking germ. Who the fuck cares? Ah, ha, ha. But as a 50-year-old man now, and I listen to science and I hear the experts, and they're like, hey, man, it's not about you. It's about other people. And so you got to think about other people at some point, right? And I wonder if this is a weird, you know, they always say, like, if you're a Republican when you're young, you got no heart. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat when you're old, you got no soul. Whatever the fuck that saying is, I don't know. But I wonder if that's for me. I mean, because, like, I was a reckless fucking dude. You know, getting in fights I wasn't exactly Steve Condom. All right, let's put it that way. And just running into shit and knocking it over and fighting, like I said, fighting and fucking, like, that was what I wanted to do all the fucking time. And I didn't care. And I wonder if now, as I'm 50 and I look at it, I go, oh man, we got to be safe. Like, I mean, is this hypocritical to be this way? Or is it just, everyone reaches that point as they get older where they just go, yeah, no, this isn't a good idea. Yeah, no, this was, you know, because you have to literally sit down and go, well, I made it. I mean, I, you know, because I did a bunch of dumb shit. I've had a gun to my head 3 times in my life. You know what I mean? There are times I could have been e-fucking raced. I've been in a fight that I've been losing and getting the shit beat out of me. And I mean, honestly, if the person I was fighting was a psychopath, I'd be dead. I could be beaten to death. Who the fuck knows? You know, and you survive those things and you move on, and now you're old and you look back and you go, wow, fuck, I made it. All right, cool. And now I start to, I guess, think and worry and hope. Is that what I'm doing? I don't know if that's really what it is. Cause also there's the nihilist in me who's like, fuck everybody. I don't give a shit. Fucking die. It was funny. Last week I said that thing about Wisconsin and the bars and opening them up. And I was like, hey man, I hope these people are okay. But at the same fucking time. And I had a few people write me and go, no, fuck them. Let them die. And you're right. I have to, like I've said on the show here too, there's part of me that's like, hey man, I really hope the world gets through this and everything's okay. And then there's part of me like, man, I hope 1,000 people die on the beach. That'd be fun. Maybe if we just did that, what if we had some video of 1,000 people dying at once on the beach? Will that register with anybody? What if the germ steps it up? What if the germ acts differently? Because they're still learning about the germ. What if salt water exacerbates it and everybody just fucking drowns, dry drowns on land right there at the beach? 1,000 dead people right on fucking Daytona Beach. Wouldn't that be great? I have to admit, there's that guy who lives inside me too. You know, but then there's also, you got to think of those 1,000 people. I don't know what percentage of them are innocents. Kids who were brought there who didn't really have a choice or didn't know. It makes me really happy that this guy in my building, his kid has a matching mask. Because I'm sure he's sat down and talked to him and he said, hey, no, we got to wear masks now. It's totally fun. But look, it's going to be, it's like a, when I was a kid, I told you, I faked the eye chart so I could get glasses. I looked at it like jewelry or something grown up. I wanted something grown up. So you got to have that talk with your 3-year-old and go, oh, here's a mask, put it on. Yay. Woo, we're bandits. And then you play a stupid game about whatever, cops and robbers, and you wear masks. And then the kid just realizes that it's a thing you do. It's your responsibility to show a kid how to be responsible. You have to pass that on. Nature and nurture, all that shit. It's right there. And you wonder when you see these motherfuckers at these protests with these signs and going, America, I believe in the Lord, and no mask, and with the kid next to him, and you're like, well, that kid's going to grow up just to be a fuckhead. Jesus, you know, that kid's going to grow up to pick up Mark Wahlberg in a bank parking lot, try to get him to jerk off, and then fucking gay bash him into a goddamn parking lot. You know, you just know that those people are being taught hate and anger. Quit teaching anger to everybody, man. And that comes from a dude who's fucking angry still. But I also recognize that a lot of my anger is my fucking fault, my issue, my problem. You can make your own choices and not be angry. You can make your own choices and not be upset. You can make your own choices. And I'm not good at it. I still get fucking mad. I still get mad at myself. I get mad at other people. I get irrationally angry. I hide. I do all of these things. And it's part of being human. It's who we are. Nobody's fucking perfect. But if you just have an ounce of compassion for the people who are around you, then that goes a long fucking way. Wear the mask. There's a fat fuck in a Costco. See that clip? It's a fucking idiot. And the Costco manager is just like, hey man, you got to put the mask on. And the dude's just like, I'm not putting a mask on. Why would I want to do that? Or whatever the fuck. He wasn't even a country guy. I apologize. I'm not putting a mask on. And the manager's like, well, then you'll have to leave the store. I mean, you got to put a mask on. And he's just like, well, when I woke up this morning, I woke up in a free fucking country. And you just saw the Costco manager basically just kind of go, all right. And he just took the card away. And the guy goes, oh, wait, hold on. You know, I'll give the card to my wife. She'll pay. And he goes, bye. And the fucking manager took his stuff away. Wouldn't let him check out. And then the guy's like, oh, you're just going to take my card away. Oh, is that what you're doing? You're just going to take my card of stuff. I can't believe they're doing this, man. Taking my card away. And then he films himself and he's just this big, fat, moon face motherfucker with ridiculous sunglasses on. Like, you just knew that guy. Yeah, I know that guy owns 5 guns, but he only knows how to shoot one of them, but he bought them because they're cool or whatever. You know, he's just a fucking slob. And he's just like, and he's grousing. Oh, yeah, my wife could have paid, but no, you took my stuff away. Hey, it's not your stuff, man. That's Costco's stuff. And you know what you got to do to buy Costco stuff? You got to wear a fucking mask these days. You don't just come in and fucking swing your corpulence around and go, hey, man, I'm the kingpin. I get to buy what I want. This is all my stuff. Costco's just holding it. I've come to exchange cash for goods and services. Okay, well, wear a mask. Not me. This is a free country. Okay, what's a free country? Get the fuck out of my store. What? I'll sue you. What do you mean you'll sue me? You said it's a free country, right? So it's a free store. Get the fuck out. Go somewhere else. Go shop at the no mask store because that's also free. But this is a mask store in a free country. Guess what we've done? We've proclaimed it a mask store, you fuckhead, because we want our customers dying because we'd like the business to continue. Oh, I can't believe it. I woke up in America, which is a free country, this morning. Yeah? Well, you're going to die in America too, some point, which is a free country. And it's because you didn't wear a fucking mask, you fucking ridiculous ham. You big fucking sentient ham. That's what you are. You're just a fucking spiral cut. Hey, you fucking absolute pile of fucking Genoa salami with sunglasses on. Get the fuck out of my store. You fucking mayonnaise sweating motherfucker. I don't want to talk to you anymore. We're putting this stuff back on the shelf. Actually, check that. We're burning this shit. Because you and your non-mask fatness fondled it and threw it in your cart. And the best part is his wife's wearing a mask. Like, he pans the fucking phone over. His wife's wearing the mask. Because you know why? Maybe she gets it. Maybe she knows. Maybe she understands. Maybe she has compassion or empathy. And maybe she's not dating this ridiculous fucking frat guy who never went to college. Isn't that the worst disease in this fucking country now? Every ass fuck who acts like he was in a frat, but he didn't go to college. Every frat bro who didn't go to college. If you at least went to college and you were a frat bro and you got your fucking diploma, fine. You got your sheepskin, good. Then you put cherries in your ass and you did an elephant walk and good for you. You jerked off on the bread. Hopefully you didn't have to eat it. Great. You paid your dues. You got your fucking degree. Good. But these ass fucks who, these entitled fucking idiots who act like frat bros who never graduated college,
just these human puddles of oil from a NASCAR track who come in and go, I'm going to buy what I want without a mask on. Oh, are you? Are you, you fuckhead? No, you're not. You need to get the fuck out of here. Steve Costco says, get the fuck out. Trader Joe says, take a fucking walk. Jim Target says, wear a fucking mask. And it's not forever. That's another thing. It's like the summer's coming. We'll have to wear the masks. Maybe in the fall, the thing will come back. Or you know what? Maybe we will have to wear masks for a year. Who the fuck knows? I went to Asia. They wear masks all the fucking time. You know why? Because first of all, it's in China, there's nothing but pollution just pouring all over everybody. They got 8 billion people there and all of them smoke. And then half of them wear masks. And they're just like, all right, well, maybe I won't die, whatever the fuck. But in Japan, they were wearing the fucking mask because they understand that there's germs. Like we, like I said, I told this story, like on, I might have said it on the show last week. There was a thing I had on Facebook and it made me laugh. It was like from 2012 and I was at the airport and I said, I just saw two people smoking at LAX laughing at two Asians wearing masks. I'll go ahead and save this for their, and show it to them during their chemotherapy in 2016. And I read that the other day and I was like, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, we're all dying. Every single one of us, whether it's fucking germs, whether it's me shoving ridiculous carbs and chocolate in my face, whether it's people smoking and giving themselves cancer, or whether it's just the fucking inexorable march of time. It's taking us out. It's taking all of us out. We're all dying. Doesn't mean you don't have to be nice to people or good to people or helpful to people. I don't. And quit shaming people too. Although I just said that, I called that guy a fat pile of Genoa salami with sunglasses on. Whatever the fuck, I don't care. He was acting like a dick. But just these people who point and yell and scream. I just fuck. Trump's health secretary was on a fucking one of the with Stephanopoulos or somebody, and he's like, the virus is bad because Americans have so many comorbidities. And the guy was like, wait a minute, you're saying like in other nations. They didn't, it wasn't their precautions and the fact that they got ahead of the disease. And the guy, the health guy, Azar, I think is his name. And he's like, no, man. He goes, a lot of Americans have diabetes and a lot of minorities, they smoke and they don't take care of themselves. And the guy, and the fucking announcer is just like, what the fuck? Are you trying to say that the virus is bad because Americans are unhealthy? And he's like, well, the facts are what they are. Like, they won't commit to saying it. They always hint around it. They try to say that black people are overweight or they have more diabetes or black, you know, brown people don't take care of themselves or Navajos drink or whatever. These people put themselves in a position to be what? Killed by a three times in a lifetime global fucking germ that goes around at light speed? Really? Well, I wish you would have told me that before you started telling me all the fucking time that I could eat candy bars every fucking minute. Because you know what? You motherfuckers who are going, well, you know, if Americans weren't so unhealthy, this wouldn't have been such a bad pandemic. Oh, really? Really? It's our fault? That, you know what? I got news for you. Like 3 years ago, when Michelle Obama told people to eat a fucking carrot, you'd said that she was a Nazi. Remember that, you fuckheads? Michelle Obama was like, hey, you know what? What if we had exercise in school and maybe we changed school lunches a little bit? And you went, oh, you these draconian measures. She's trying to make you eat a pea. Oh, damn you and your green beans, Michelle. You people forcing your healthy. Why? We want to eat chaw. That's what we want. We want to eat chewing tobacco right out of the dip can. How dare you tell me I can eat a fucking carrot? What? These vegetables and a food pyramid. It's America, damn it. If I want to eat a Danish on top of a coffee cake between two slices of French toast, you're goddamn right I will. Cut to 4 years later. These people have made unhealthy choices and it's really hurt us with this pandemic because otherwise everything would have been peachy keen. Oh, really? First of all, don't say peach because that's a fruit. You don't get to put that in your fucking mouth because years ago you were advocating we all eat chocolate fucking piles of whatever the fuck. And now you're like, oh yeah, no, it's everybody's fault because they're sick. Oh, if it wasn't for the unhealthy Americans, this virus wouldn't be so bad. They're just grasping at every fucking pixie powder filled straw that they possibly can to blame people for getting sick. It's their fault. Oh, you know what? If people didn't drink so much, they wouldn't have gotten sick. Oh, if people didn't eat so much. But again, on the other hand, they're all like, it's America, man. You can do what you want. You don't have to close these buildings. Do what you want, man. Hey, you know what? Let's have a fried chicken sandwich with bacon and cheese. Oh, that'll be awesome. What do you mean fried chicken sandwich? Like with bread? No, bread? No, that's useless. We don't want to have a bun. Just two big pieces of fried chicken with bacon and cheese inside. And look, I'm not against the double down sandwich. I'm not against the 5x5 at In-N-Out. I don't give a fuck. Eat whatever the fuck you want. But if the government is advocating, oh yeah, it's okay, America, freedom. And when someone says, maybe we should be a little healthier, fuck your apples, Michelle Obama. Shove them into your goddamn presidential pussy. Okay, well, that seems aggressive and strong. 3 years later, if Americans had taken care of themselves, they wouldn't have to worry about this virus. Oh, what about if Trump had closed the country earlier? Because I'm seeing now that if he would even acted a week earlier, 36,000 people wouldn't have died. Well, it's also a known fact that those 36,000 people were found with a whatchamacallit bar in their pocket. What? What's that? I'm sorry, what are you saying? Yes, it's correct. The 36,000 people that could have had their lives saved were eating whatchamacallit bars nonstop, and so the germ knocked on their door. You ever see that story in the Ten Commandments when you have to put the blood above your doorstep and then the Pharaoh comes and he kills your kid or whatever the fuck the story is? Well, that's how it was. People put a whatchamacallit wrapper in their pocket and the germ knew that that was them. They came to their house. The germ looked for people who ate candy. The germ, I don't know if you know this, the germ, we've decided with all of our research, the germ can smell junk food. Oh, the second you come home with a sack of Jack in the Box, there's a germ right on your ass. Go ahead and eat an ultimate. Go ahead and eat an ultimate cheeseburger. Go ahead and eat an ultimate breakfast sandwich. Go ahead and eat a Jumbo Jack, because I guarantee you, you're also eating a mouthful of the 19, and you're going to wind up dead because it's your fault. It's your fault, not the country's fault, not Donald Trump's fault. Please don't blame Donald Trump. And so, and again, this country is so fucking bananas because Biden, like I think I said it earlier, Biden today said, "Hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black." Whatever the fuck he was doing, he's an idiot. We know this. He's a fucking just a head full of fucking pear-filled green jello. We get it. He's a fucking slob. Democrats fucked up. They're still fucking up. Pelosi fighting against college debt relief. She's fucking like in the new bill, they took out $10,000 of college debt relief. For what? For why? I don't even fucking know. I don't just leave it in there. Let the fucking Republicans do it. This would be so easy to win. How are Democrats not just coming out and going, yeah, we should give like $3,000 to each American to take care of it and make the Republicans say no. Put it in the bills and make the Senate say no. This would be so easy to fucking win, but they can't. They step on their own fucking dicks all the goddamn time. Just like they put the hit out on whatever the fuck, Bernie Sanders and now Elizabeth Warren, whatever the fuck, and they made Biden the guy. Fine, Biden's your guy. That's fine. You're riding this William Hickey from fucking whatever that movie was with Billy Crystal, and he's got him in the car. Yeah, that's right. You got it, Toyota. Is that's not When Harry Met Sally? I don't fucking know. It's some Billy Crystal movie where he's got to drive Bill Hickey around, and William Hickey's just this pile of old death in the fucking passenger seat repeating signs that he sees. That's who Biden is. Biden is awful. You know, when I was married, my fucking grandmother-in-law, or whatever the fuck you want to call her, my ex-wife's grandmother was gone. She was gone. She was just a shell. She was just a lady. But she had the most beautiful smile. And she was always happy to be alive. That's all she was. Like, she wasn't worrying about anything. But she would be hungry all the time, and she loved ice cream. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. She would say it all day. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And my ex-wife's mom would be like, don't feed her. She's just fucking saying shit. That's what they do. And in my brain, I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. She's fucking 80. Feed her. If it's the thing that makes her happy in that instance, feed her. And I know, look, I'd be bad with a dog and a pet. My cat would be round. My fucking dog, you wouldn't even be able to see his legs. He'd just be just like a fucking, like a football, just shaped. His tiny fucking legs. He'd roll everywhere. Dog would fucking roll because I'd feed him all the time. Because I just wanted to feed her. So she wanted ice cream. So we went and bought her ice cream once. We gave her a huge bowl of ice cream. I've never seen anybody happier in my entire life. Like literally like that, like a child. Fucking smiling. And we fed her the ice cream. That's who Biden is. He doesn't want to be president. He just wants ice cream. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. That's Biden. But I just picture them in the morning just pulling him out of the sack and washing his face and his wife combing his hair, and they jam his teeth into his mouth. Like, okay, you're going to talk to Charlemagne the God today. And he's like, I'm hungry. And they're like, no, you're not hungry. You're going to talk to Charlemagne the God because you're running to be the leader of the free world. I'm hungry. Yeah, no, we'll get you something after. Don't worry. There's a fruit cup waiting for you on the other side of this. I like fruit cup. Yes, you do, Joe. Joe loves fruit cup, doesn't he? Joe loves fruit cup. Yes, he does. All right, Joe. Hey, I really like the fruit cup. Who am I talking to? God today? I'm going to visit him soon because I'm almost dead. No, Joe, we're talking to Charlemagne the God. Charlemagne, isn't that from ancient Rome? I can tell you, when I was in ancient Rome, I talked to Caesar once. I said, watch out for the Ides of March, boy. And he said, I don't believe you. And the next thing you know, he's got a knife in his gut. I'll tell you what, I tried to warn him I was there, and then I went and I took the road to Galilee. Okay, Joe, that's fantastic. Could you go ahead and hold on? We're going to go live with Charlemagne the God in just seconds. Charlemagne, I'm going live with God in seconds. You're not going to get rid of me that quickly. Who's got my corncob pipe? Shut up, Joe. You fucking ridiculous, nonsense spouting, drooling motherfucker. But that's who the Democrats are backing. That's their guy. That's their fucking all in. They are all in on a gut shot straight, and they've got a 2 and a 5, and there's 3 cards showing. They're waiting for the river in the turn, hoping to hit the 3 and the 4. And I know you're thinking 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not a straight. Yeah, the Democrats don't know that. They don't know there's not a 6. They don't know they're dead in the fucking water, and they're still pushing all in. Joe Biden's a gut shot straight without a 6, and they're still throwing everything into the fucking middle. It should be so easy to beat a president that wears spray tanner so fucking thick you couldn't see his real face. Literally, he just looks like Wile E. Coyote smoking a cigar. Boom! Just a fucking ridiculous head. And then he says dumb shit all the time. He's a eugenics guy. Yesterday, he's talking about the great bloodlines of the Ford family. Whatever the fuck. And I don't give a shit. He's just a fucking asshole. Everybody's like with these specific things that Trump has done. Nothing specific. He's just a fucking terrible guy. When I used to work in fucking restaurants, there was a mop bucket. You had to mop the fucking restaurant. And sometimes the night guy would be lazy and he'd use the mop like over and over. And you'd come in the morning and the fucking place stunk. Like, what the fuck? Well, it's because he was too lazy to change the mop head. Sometimes the mop head would sit overnight in dark fucking disgusting water and he would still use it. It was a sour smell. There was a sour mop smell. When a mop goes sour, you got to throw it out. It's as bad as spilling milk in a rug. And this country has sour mop spell because Trump is a sour mop and people just keep rubbing it all over the fucking country and it's not going to go away. It's just going to take fucking forever to get rid of the stench. That dude is a sour fucking mop. He wears diapers. He wears lifts in his fucking shoes. He stammers. People make fun of him regularly on time, on every hour on the fucking hour. And he's still the favorite. Still the fucking favorite because the Democrats have backed literally the Nazi who looked into the ark and his skin melted off. That's who Biden is. He's that guy. Before he was cogent. He's after the ark. He's post ark. And then he says that, hey, if you don't vote for me, you're not really black or whatever the fuck. And then what do you expect? You got him talking to Charlemagne the God via satellite. He doesn't even know where he is. I don't know I'm sure he's apologized by now. I have no fucking idea. He's got to walk it back. But it's just, I don't give a fuck. I really don't. And then I come here to talk to you guys, and I don't know if you want to hear me not giving a fuck, because that's all I do is I do not give a fuck. This is who they are. This week, the Democrats, they said that they should fly flags at half mast for the victims of the coronavirus. I don't know if you could possibly get those flags any lower than your effort. But church is essential. So go this weekend and bid somebody peace and watch them pass that peace on to someone else who will then pass it on to someone else. And they'll bid their peace on to someone else. And they'll bid peace to 2 friends and so on and so on and so on. And we won't have to worry about opening the churches anymore because they'll be burning bodies out back instead. The next time they open the churches, they'll just be trying to hide people who are escaping the germ, looking for some sort of fucking respite from the hellscape created by giving out handshakes because you had to go to church and talk to Jesus in his special building. You telling me Jesus doesn't have Zoom? Zoom that fucker into your house and talk to him there. You don't have to go to the fucking crypt / mausoleum / mansion / bank that they've built in his honor on every fucking street corner in this goddamn country. Ridiculous. Church is essential. If church was essential, that would mean God cared about any of this. And if you look around, you can see it's pretty clear that he doesn't. You guys can get me at Mike at MikeSchmidtComedy.com. You guys can be my friend at facebook.com/the40yearoldboy. You can follow me at twitter.com/the40yearoldboy. You know, I'm available at Instagram and Snapchat. Did you know that? I am Mike40YOB. I'm also on TikTok, Mike40YOB. Have I opened the app? I have not, because I just know it's a prank. Because if you're over 50 years old and you open TikTok, you're going right to jail. It's bad enough with Snapchat. I actually did a Snapchat this week where I promoted that I was going to be on my brother's comedy show. And I don't know. I'm sure the authorities have me on a watch list now. I have no fucking clue. TikTok the same way. Unless I should learn a dance and get on there. Oh, that's what I need to do. Ratchet, Bougie, Savage. So find me at Instagram, Snapchat, and the other thing that I just mentioned. What is it? TikTok. Yeah, that's me. I'm there on all those places. Find me there and sign up, please. God, I'm distracted. Our friend Ryan Dirks, he does all of the web stuff for the show. Find him facebook.com/Ryan Dirks. Tell him he's great. And of course, our good friend David Mex Hernandez does all the work here, the music and the whatchamacallit, the artwork he does for this show. You can see the artwork on my page. You can see it on his page. Well, not on my page. You can see it at the Westside 86 Jokers page, actually. Go check it out there. Or become his friend at facebook.com/DavidMexHernandez, and you can go into his photos section, and he's got all of his artwork grouped. You'll see the stuff he's created for the Jokers page, see the stuff he created for me in the past as my profile pictures. Just a real good gallery of all the great stuff that he's done online on Facebook, and you should check it out because it's really amazing stuff. He also has a page called This Is Dumb, That's Dumb, You're Dumb, I'm Dumb, and you should go visit that now. Well, first of all, you can't. Become his friend at facebook.com/DavidMexHernandez, and then he'll give you the heads up about the page, or you can find the page, and then you got to write him another note to become a member, and then he'll send you some questions. You answer those, and then you're there on This Is Dumb, That's Dumb, You're Dumb, I'm Dumb, sharing all the best memes with all the best people, staring at a mummy with a bandaged ass and a Weebles Wobble that looks like Christopher Hitchens. He's got all of them. He's got something whose teeth keeps falling out. I think there's, like I said, a toupee refrigerator. There's a hot naked chick. Look, that's all you need. So go ahead and join This Is Dumb, That's Dumb, I'm Dumb, You're Dumb. And you'll be there with Slumpus McGrumpus. He's there as well. And check out the artwork he does for that page. Because you might be thinking to yourself, hey, man, can Mex do artwork for me? Well, he can. Of course he can. You can go ahead and contact him. Like I said, if you become his friend at facebook.com/DavidMexHernandez, you can see all the artwork that he's done and think to yourself, well, what can he do? Well, he can do oils. He can do watercolors. I don't know if he's sculpting things these days. Who knows what the fuck he's doing? But you'll have to contact him yourself. And to do that, you've got to become his friend at facebook.com/DavidMexHernandez. You'll see all of his stuff in the photo. He can do your Facebook caricature. He just does incredibly amazing work, and it's stuff that you'll want to get your eyes and face wrapped around so you can see and envision what he can do for you. But I'll tell you what, not only does he have the stuff on Facebook, which you can see, but there's a whole different style at his website too. You should go visit that so you can see if he can do something in that style for you. Go to his website right now. I'll wait. Well, I won't wait. I'll be on the other side. Artbydmh.com. That's artbydmh.com.
This is the 40-year-old boy, and coming up later, 12 inches. I'd have to fuck you twice.
Gather around. Grab a wet nap. I got something you need to hear. I gotta tell you a little story.
Story, yeah.
Bullshit.
Sorry.
Late one night, my strange brother reaches out to me.
Andy.
No, not Andy.
Scott.
No,
Glenn.
Not. Dude.
What?
Think teeth.
Lend me.
Yeah. He says all the hard feelings are under the bridge. He wants to be friends. Not only that, he wants to offer me a job. I says, cool, that sounds great. I need some cash, my brother. I got to come clean with you. I've been talking some serious shit about you in my one-man show. He says, cool, ain't no sweat. And by the way, my two daughters want to meet you. So I think, whoa! You telling me you have no problem with me telling stories about you on stage? You want to offer me a job and I get to be a part of my niece's lives? Motherfucker, are you drunk? He says, yeah! He says, why are you so chill with all this stuff all of a sudden? Dig this. He says he's been following Eastern philosophy. Eastern philosophy? All I got to say is that Buddha is one forgiven motherfucker.
Buddha!
Now, the problem is whether I want to take another serial killer gig. I mean, I've worked for Lenny before. That shit never works out. How am I going to work this job but not fuck up a relationship? I then knew what I must do. What I had to do. Lenny is Lenny and I'm me. The only thing I can do is what I did. I became someone else. I became what this town needed. I became a hero. I became a rib-delivering vigilante. I'll take ribs to the Bronx, Brooklyn. I'll take them to Harlem. I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. It does the song. Some will even take Texas beef ribs. Don't make no difference to me. Who am I?
Travis Barbecue.
Hey, Travis Barbecue.
Travis Barbecue.
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Travis Barbecue.
Hey, Travis Barbecue.
Travis Barbecue.
Yeah, we're talking to you.
Listening to the 40-year-old boy, and coming up, who would win in a fight? A spirited debate about dream matchups the world needs to see.
Okay, so we had Zack and Screech against Fonzie and Ponzi. We covered that.
Yes.
We covered Muhammad Ali versus Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Okay, we took care of that. And you had one that you really wanted to bring
okay,
up.
Okay, this is in the theme of Stephen King classic villains. Randall Flagg versus Pennywise the Clown.
Pennywise the Clown, done.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Pennywise the Clown. Clowns are frightening. Clowns are scary. Randall Flagg, absolutely. You know, the Crow, the Stand is brilliant. But I'm sorry, Pennywise the Clown, just for the scene where his face turns into a skull.
Two words, Randall Flagg is the devil.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. But
fine.
What I really want to find out, I had this. The entire band of Bon Jovi armed with slingshots versus a tiger with AIDS.
Verbal punches and bunches on every episode of Who Would Win in a Fight? On the Mike Schmidt Podcasting Network.
AIDS?
Travis Barbecue.
Hey, Travis Barbecue.
Hell, sometimes no tips. Junkies love the barbecue. That's something I bet you never knew. I thought my car was stole. Nope, just in a bowl. In a hurry to bring you your ribs, I realized I never put in park. Sometimes the old Mike shows up and scares the Mexicans. Not the Mexican, he's used to my bullshit, but the ones that work at Barbecue House. I saw Chaz Bono. He seemed nice. I've even been paying weed. I've had the humiliation of delivering food to my friends' houses. Fuck, William Parker didn't seem to care, so why should I? Maybe they didn't see me? Maybe because it wasn't me delivering food. It was the main man. The one guy who could put up with this gig. A hero. Listen, you fuckers. You screwheads. Here's a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here's a man who stood up, settled up, and brought you your barbecue, goddammit. Who am I?
Sponsors? Well, of course we have sponsors. Our great friend, Fearful Jesuit, the Paranoid Strain podcast, out right now in the iTunes store. His second coronavirus hit, is available now. Go ahead and listen to it. It's he's done two in a row now on the coronavirus, and he's done them at a quicker pace than he does the other shows. So yeah, available right now. And I'm sure, look, he and Danny Unicorn are tearing apart all of the conspiracy theories that are behind this fucking coronavirus. And there's tons of them. As we all know, whether it's bat eating or whatever the fuck you want to say, and he's going to get to the bottom of them. I will tell you this. I have not listened to this show yet. I'm very excited to listen to this show, but I didn't listen. Here's why. And I'm going to say this too, and I'm going to have to text it to my good friend Fearful. If all I'm talking about is the coronavirus, and then I listen to other shows about the coronavirus, then it's going to influence what I talk about with the coronavirus. So I try not to listen to anything else about the coronavirus. Does that make sense? Because my show is just kind of generated in the ether. You know what I mean? I just kind of start talking, and I don't want to. And I'm good at, look, I'm not saying I'd be cribbing material, but I'll be influenced. This is the same. I used to think this, because this is why I didn't watch comedians. All right. I didn't watch any comedians in the clubs, and I didn't watch any comedian specials a lot of the time when I was working the road and doing stand up, because I didn't want it to influence any take I might have about something. You know what I mean? So, is that dumb? Probably. You know, you need to have influences. You need to watch people and hear people do good work. And I've done so with the coronavirus episode. I heard the last one, but this new one I haven't had a chance to wrap my head around, because again, you know, I'm living it. We're all living in the pandemic. We're all living inside the house, and I can tell you that he does amazing work, and I trust him fully to have fucking nailed it. I just haven't had a chance to listen, but it's on my agenda, and I will listen. I just don't want it to color how I talk about the virus on here. I know it sounds dumb, because I mean, look, Jesuit and I have kind of the same mindset in that you know, a lot of people are fucking stupid, and the conspiracy things are dumb. But I think they're ruining the planet, whereas Fearful Jesuit just kind of bemusedly looks at them and goes, whatever. Whereas I get a little worked up and angry about them. I don't think Jesuit gets so angry, but you can hear for yourself. Go to the iTunes store / the Apple Podcast section, whatever the fuck it's called now, and download the Paranoid Strain podcast. Subscribe to it, and then you'll always get the newest episode when it comes out. Then you'll be able to listen to it. Listen to all of them, all the past ones. All the Philip K. Dick genius stuff, all the taking out of the fucking the Bundy Ranch assholes, all of that stuff is available right now at your fingertips. Right now, just one push of a button, you'll get all of them flooding into your goddamn computer. That's a good way to kill your pandemic. Sitting around listening to people who are so stupid, they want to make up stories about the pandemic. So go ahead and listen to it now. The Paranoid Strain by Fearful Jesuit, our great friend. You can check right now. It's available in the iTunes store, and it is good work done by fabulous people, and you need to listen to it right now. The Paranoid Strain podcast, Fearful Jesuit, Danny Unicorn, available right now in the iTunes store. And also, do me a favor, leave a quote in the iTunes store saying that you reviewed the show, you love it, you heard about it through me. That also makes Jesuit think that he's doing the right thing here. And also, go ahead and write him a note. theparanoidstrain@gmail.com. theparanoidstrain@gmail.com. And also, you know what? He's got a Facebook page. Let's look this up right now real quick. Hold on, everybody. Let's find the Facebook page so I can tell you exactly what it is, and then you can go ahead and join that. I know I joined it. Why shouldn't you? It is the Paranoid Strain Group. It's available right now. I don't know if it's creatively titled, but if you go to Facebook and you put in the Paranoid Strain, you will find the public group. It comes up right now. Our good friend Fearful, he's got his, you know, right there. He's where is it? So the new Paranoid Strain Quick Hit, Coronavirus Conspiracies 2, The Phlegm and the Fury. It's available right now in the iTunes store. I've got it in my iTunes if you want to come by and listen to it. Why not? Well, 6 feet away, I'll just blare it. Everybody, like in your eyes. I'll come to your house with a boombox and just hold it up outside, and we'll both listen to fucking Fearful Jesuit destroy everything and everyone. Why not, right? That sounds like the good plan. So that's our good friend Fearful Jesuit. He's got the Paranoid Strain podcast. Go ahead and download it right now. It's available in the iTunes store. Please give it a shot. Give it a day in court. Go ahead and listen to it. That would be fantastic. I would love it. Our buddy Rob Matsushita, if you go to youtube.com/stayhome2020, that's his YouTube channel where you're going to see his web series anthology coming up. I think his first episode is out. It's youtube.com/stayhome2020. Now, when he sent it to me, it was all caps on stay home. I don't know if it needs to be, but if it is, go ahead and use that. It might be lower, whatever the fuck. But go to youtube.com/stayhome2020 and check out all of the things that he has there in his YouTube. He's going to be putting up different episodes of the anthology available right now from our good friend, Rob Matsushita, youtube.com/stayhome2020. Go ahead and check that out. Hey, I'm on Cameo. If you want me to call somebody and tell them they're great, if you want me to call somebody in their man cave and say, hey, man, what are you hiding from? Hey, don't touch my Dick Butkus game-worn jersey. You might have the HIV. Please go ahead and find me at Cameo. It's bookcameo.com on your computer, but you got to do it on the phone. The app's a phone app. Go ahead and download Cameo from the App Store and then find me on there, and I'll call whomever you want, and I'll say good things to them and tell them what you want, or I'll say bad things. I've never said good things. I've never said bad things. I've never said anything out of the blue, but I'll do all of those things just for you because I need 15 goddamn dollars. Go ahead and book me on Cameo. On the app on your phone, I've never done good things. I've never done good things. I've never done bad things. I've never done bad things. I've never done anything out of the blue. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Please hire me on Cameo. I'll do some of that right there. You want to do Bad Bowie? Happy to do it. Hire me on Cameo. I can take care of that right now. You know, we have an Amazon link. Go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Click on the merchandise page. There's an Amazon link. Click on that, and then you're shopping. Hey, you're shopping. We're getting a taste of the gig, and that makes me happy. And that's important. What, for me to be happy? Maybe. I don't know. Is that really important? Probably not. But more importantly, I get money. That's the keenest thing. We get money, they get money, you get stuff. It works out perfectly. And you were, look, it doesn't cost you anything. It costs you 10 seconds to put in my website, go to the merchandise page. Am I not worth 10 seconds? Use those 10 seconds. Click on my page. Click on the merchandise. Go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Click on the merchandise page. Click on the Amazon link. And then you go. There you go. Anything you buy. You buy $10,000 worth of merchandise and I'll get $1.50. That's great. That's all I need. Please do it. You're shopping from Amazon anyway, right? Bezos is a trillionaire. Don't you want to give him more money? Don't you want him to give me whatever fucking lint falls out of his pocket as he goes to pocket the cash you just sent him? That'd be great. I need Bezos's pocket lint. That's actually going to be currency in a couple of years. I'm stockpiling it, man. I'm making a big ass fucking crazy ass yarn ball of Bezos fucking pocket lint with his DNA on it. Are you kidding me? I'll fucking run this town. So please use the Amazon link. Go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Click on the merchandise page. Click on the Amazon link and then you're shopping and we get some of it. We get a taste. Goddamn yawns. Nobody likes them. Teenage suicide. Nobody likes it. Please use the Amazon link. Also, what else did I want to tell you? We've got, we got Twitch. Got a Twitch channel, folks. Twitch.tv/the40yearoldboy. I'm on there all the time. I've been playing a trivia game recently called Jackbox. You can go ahead and jump in there and play trivia murder. We do trivia. We do t-shirt. We do drawing stuff. We do all that. You play along with me on your phone. That's right. It's not just me playing and you watching. You can actually play along with me on your phone. Don't you want to do that? Isn't that what you've been thinking for all along? You've been thinking, oh my God, I wish I could play a game with Mike. How great would that be? Oh, I would love to play along with Mike on my phone and not be in the same room. It's the best of all worlds. You get to play a game and I'm there lurking. And then you play along on your phone without having to have me in your house or look me in the eyes. Nobody wants to look me in the eyes and I don't blame them. Twitch.tv/the40yearoldboy, twitch.tv/the40yearoldboy. You can follow and subscribe with Amazon Twitch Prime. That's great. You do that every month. I get $5. That's pretty cool. And also you can just follow the channel just to find out what I'm on. That doesn't cost you a dime. And then you can give money appropriately if you'd want to. That's right. Content and commerce smashing in a head-on collision at twitch.tv/the40yearoldboy. Come and visit me, please. I'm there. YouTube.com/the40yearoldboy. I got that channel rocking and rolling. And I will tell you this. We are current. We are absolutely current right now at YouTube because of our good friend KC Bills in Wisconsin. He's the best. He reaches out. He helps me all the time over there at YouTube. And so right now we are absolutely, I mean, this show's not up yet, but it will be soon. But all 12 years of the podcast up to last week are live right now and hanging out on the YouTube channel. If you want to go ahead and listen to them, that'd be fantastic. I don't think I make any money from that anymore because of Mex's songs. I don't know what I need to do. So that's that. Go watch or listen if you can. And is there other stuff coming soon? Like I saw a video of a guy today. He's like, hey man, I'm going to try 29 different flavors of Pop-Tarts on my YouTube channel. And in my head, I'm like, I could do that. But I don't know who the fuck wants to watch me try YouTube. or try Pop-Tarts. Come watch. Yes, then come watch me try YouTube. That'd be great. YouTube.com/the40-year-old boy, twitch.tv/the40-year-old boy. Please sign up for those channels. That'd be great. I've mentioned Amazon. I've mentioned Cameo. Oh, Patreon. We got the Patreon page. And this is a good time to talk about some people who've signed up for that. Patreon.com/the40-year-old boy. Or go to Patreon and just put in my name, Mike Schmidt, or 40-year-old boy. You'll find me. And you know who found me this week? Patrick Volker. Look at our good friend Patrick Volker signing up to be a Patreon patron. Thank you so much, Patrick Volker. I appreciate it. You're the best. And Andrew Reynolds. What? Andrew Reynolds has signed up to become a donor every single month there at Patreon. Andrew Reynolds and Patrick Volker, thank you to the two of you for signing up for Patreon. And I can't tell you how happy that makes me to have new patrons named Andrew and Patrick, because I was down in Andrew. I had an Andrew who quit. I had a Patrick who died. So you guys just fit those slots nicely. I don't feel good about myself unless I've got an Andrew and a Patrick right by my side. And look at the two of you. Fill in the void. I appreciate it. So Andrew Reynolds, Patrick Volker, our new Patreon patrons. Thank you. And you too can be a Patreon patron. Go to patreon.com/the40-year-old boy. Look for me there and sign up. That would be great. And will I be putting videos and stuff up there soon? Soon seems like a strong word, but yes, I got a list. I got plans. I actually think I'm going back to the gym on June 1st. Yeah, I know. Get ready to scream at me. I can't wait to do fucking dumbbell curls with a mask on, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm dying in my apartment, so I got to do something. Everybody's like, oh man, why don't you just go run in the park? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'll have to wait for Saturday, right? Saturday in the park? I'll probably wait for the 4th of July. All right, man. So, be a Patreon patron. That would be cool. YouTube, Cameo, Amazon. The fuck else was I talking about? Getting out there. Was there something else I was just discussing? I don't remember. Did I cover everything? We covered Twitch. We covered Patreon. We covered Amazon. We covered, there's Cameo. We got sponsors. I think that's it. Oh, man, I should Zoom this show. You guys want to sign in and Zoom with me instead of just me doing a fucking podcast and sending out into the ether of me just yelling? Don't you want to just see me scream? Although I do that on Twitch. I could possibly do that at that's what I wanted to do. Fuck it. Yeah. Because we were talking about Andrew and Patrick at Patreon. We got to talk about PayPal and Venmo. People have stepped up and sent things there. Our great friend, Sarah J. Lombardi in I don't want to say where she is, but I know where she is, but she stepped up and did a nice thing this week. Thank you so much, Sarah J. And of course, Michelle Jacobs, who we love. Michelle, who's used to visit Southern California every month. I miss her. We'd go have Indian food. We'd hang out. But now Michelle's up north and sent me a very nice thing over Venmo in honor of her selling her house. And you're very, very cool. Thank you so much, Michelle, for thinking of me. And of course, the lovely and talented Liana Dixon. Who reached out to me, but Liana had, she actually has, everybody else is just like, here you go, Mike. But Liana has, I have a task that I have to perform. Liana's like, because when I stream last week, I was streaming on Twitch and I had a shirt on, and look, man, a lot of my shirts are old and they're beat to shit. And here's why. Cause you get, I'm a fat guy. So, and I truly planned on losing a ton of weight this year and going to buy a bunch of new clothes. That was the whole point. And I did the first 2 months and it was doing good. I was starting to slowly fit back into, some of the shirts I own, and then we were going to buy more. But now everything's gone to hell. So I'm wearing older shirts that are all beat up because I saved them, because I'm like, well, what if I get fat again? Which is terrible. It shouldn't have that attitude, but I have it. So I have these shirts and the collars are all fucked up and there's like strings that are ragged and loose. And like, I don't look like a complete hobo. But, I am on camera. I should wear something. So I just wore a shirt. Now, over the winter, I got away with it because I wore hoodies the whole time. So I wore these shitty shirts, but with hoodies over it. So it was fine. But now I'm just wearing the shirt because it's warm in Los Angeles. And so Liana sends me a gift. She's like, here, buy some shirts for the streams. And I wrote her back and I go, look, you're not serious, right? And she's like, no. She goes, I would like to see you do that. So our great friend Liana Dixon has sent me shirt money. So I get to buy some shirts courtesy of Liana. And I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Liana. And thank you again, Michelle. Because Michelle also, when she sent money before, she was like, buy Indian food and have it without me. Which is nice. So everybody who sends me anything, thank you so much for thinking of me. Andrew Reynolds, Patrick Volker, Liana Dixon, Michelle Jacobs, Sarah J. Lombardi, everybody who thought of me and penciled me in to give me a gift or keep me in their thoughts or send me any sort of cash. You're the best. Thanks. And I'm emerging slowly from my cocoon a little bit here. Like I've been Zooming with people, which is weird. Like it's so odd. Like I'm a good alone person in my house, and you get that thing where you're like, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to bother anybody. All that kind of dumb shit. But I started Zooming the UFC because the UFC came back for fights. Cause you know, I don't know if you know this, fist fights are just as essential as church. So my buddy Justin, who listens to the show, he was like, "Hey, you want to Zoom during the fights?" And we did the last 2 weeks. He and I, and of course his lovely wife, Mary, was there as well to say hi and hang out. And it was cool. Like I didn't think I would like it because if you're doing it a lot, I got to imagine that there's Zoom fatigue. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh Jesus Christ, I'm trapped in my house, but now I got to look good. I mean, a phone call's different, but Zoom, you're on camera again. And it's a weird thing that we all live our life on camera now. It's strange. And whether it's FaceTime or YouTube or any of these things, or me on Twitch, I mean, I'm on camera virtually every day. It's bananas. So everyone has seen my backslide. Go look at the end of February and see, and then look at me now. You talk about a fucking pile of Genoa salami that talks. That's me, baby. I'm just talking carbs and candy. That's who I am. Carbs and candy. I smell carbs and candy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's that lounging? All right. Let me get some water here. It's another thing, too, by talking so much, I burn my throat out, whether it's on Twitch or here or whatever. I Zoomed also with my poker friends on Monday. We played a poker game. And that was just, man, that was crazy fun. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, this sounds dumb. I don't know. Is this going to be okay? Is this going to work? But then we all signed up with Poker Stars and we play Poker Stars and then we Zoom. And it was me and Siegel, Gil Martin and Dwyer, Pat Francis, my buddy Chip, Paul Goebel came in from Arizona. It was the best. Like, again, I'm that guy who's like, oh, I'm okay. You know, because we all are okay. You know, some of us might be having struggles or issues. You're alone, all these things. And that's rough. But in reality, we're all, you know, you're alive, you're breathing. You should be okay. You know, I know you're alone. You can reach out. There's people out there for you. But for me, I'm just a decent alone guy. Like, I've never thought, well, I got to get a hold of somebody or I got to do this or I should see somebody or whatever the fuck. I'm not, that's never been a thing for me. I hide. If anything, I go the other way. I don't talk to anybody. I'm invisible for long periods of time. And people wonder where or why I am. But the Zooming thing, it just made complete sense. Like we started playing at 7:00. We played till like fucking 1:30 in the morning and we were laughing our balls off the entire time. Played two different tournaments. Dwyer just yelling. It brought a tiny kernel of normalcy back to my life. And it was funny when I say normalcy, it's just a bunch of jackass comics shouting at one another. But for me, that's normal. And I loved it. I just had the best time and I didn't think I would. I thought I was going to be, so now we're going to do a weekly game, which makes me really happy. But then everybody's like, well, what if it's $20 a game? Or I'm just like, guys, can we just play? Like, I don't even care about the money, but so we settled on like 10 with $10 rebuys. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I'll buy in for 10 and then I'll lose and hang out with my friends on Zoom basically. Cause I don't need to lose whatever pandemic cash I have holed up to the fucking poker gods, but I'll play and it'll be fun. And I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because I never thought that I would need that. You know, I'm fine. I'm okay. And I wouldn't even say that I need it. It was just a joy to have it, to know that was out there, to know that was a possibility, to know that was something that I could partake in, to know that was something that was waiting for me that I was ignoring, to find my friends on Zoom. And you can do it too. I guess that's what I'm saying is like, don't hole up. Don't hide. Don't fucking barricade yourself in. Like, everybody's telling me to go outside, do this, walk around. And that all is true. You know, you can put on a mask and go outside. You can still get the sun on your face. You can throw some water in your face and go outside and feel the breeze. I mean, it's, I wonder if I'm contributing to the negative discourse by just coming on here and bitching every week on this podcast. And I don't want to be that guy. I want there to be hope. We all hope for a happy ending to this. We all hope it can get back to normal at some point. Now, I might be more negative than others in that I don't really see it happening. I mean, I sit and I think and I wonder and I try to figure out what's going to happen. Like, I, you know what? It was funny. There was also normalcy for me in watching the Chicago Bulls documentary. Like, I watched The Last Dance. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was on ESPN. And I watched that, and it was fantastic because the Bulls, you know, the championship, the first one they won was in 91. So I turned 24 that summer. So that was right when you're at peak fucking jag-off sports fan, basically, where sports is still a wonder and you're still really ensconced in it. But at the same time, you're not a bitter jag-off yet. You know what I mean? You love it as a kid, and then you get to be 24, you still love it. And then the Bulls were just amazing. I mean, Jordan came to town and I was like, holy fuck, I got to watch him. I was there for his whole youth. And then I lived in LA in 91 when they beat the Lakers. And then I lived the whole three-peat. I lived 91, 92, 93. I was basically in LA, and then the next three-peat I was home in Chicago. So I was there for it. And, watching the show brought back so many memories, but at the same time, it also brought back a bunch of things that aren't ever going to come back. Like you looked at sports, you saw people hugging and jumping and getting together in giant fucking crowds. And also the crowds waiting for the buses outside for Jordan, and the crowds waiting for the Bulls at the hotel. And you saw that and you're like, is that going to happen again? Can it ever happen again? If that happens now, will these people be wearing masks? There was a scene, Dennis Rodman was on that Bulls team and he was a fucking banana head. We know that. So he skipped practice one day and he went to go wrestle with Hulk Hogan whatever the fuck, fine. He was that guy and the Bulls didn't care. But the funny thing that they showed was like the next day, the media waiting to talk to Rodman. So they're like, all right, we got to try to smuggle Dennis out of this building. And they're going to get Dennis out the back way. So Dennis comes out like three doors and then he goes running and then the media goes running after him. And I'm talking like, it's like a 50-year-old fucking Chicago guy, which is basically just like a beef sandwich smoking a cigar, carrying a camera. And he's running up the stairs after Rodman and you can see him just hyperventilating already because he's carrying a giant fucking old school TV camera. And then reporters are running. They're all trying to, and you're like, you're going to catch 90s Rodman in a sprint. Sure. Good luck. Because Rodman's doing that high knee run up the stairs, taking four stairs at a time. He runs out and gets into a truck and drives away. But then with the angle, they showed the media running down the hallway and running up the stairs to try to catch Rodman. And I watched it. And in my head, I thought, you know what, man? In 98, that was dumb. It was just dumb. Why are you chasing Rodman? To get what quote? What's he going to say that would ever make you go, oh, yeah, no, this was good. I'm glad I ran a fucking 40-yard dash to catch this guy. But now when I watch it, I think, not only is it dumb, but it's obsolete. That shit's never going to happen. There's just, will sports ever have that? Because again, I did this after 9/11 too, where I fucking made myself think, oh, the world's going to change. It's never going to be the same. But I genuinely wonder that about this pandemic. I wonder if we're going to come out of this on the other side and be okay and be the same. And will there ever be a time where it's very important that some newsmen chase down Dennis Rodman or a basketball player to get a stupid quote? And I don't think so. I don't know really, but also don't you hope so? Don't you wish that was happening right now? Do you know what I would give to see fucking media guys chasing Yasiel Puig to ask him about licking his bat and see the people getting outraged over it? I would love that. That's all I want. I would love to see people saying, oh, Bron is better than Jordan. No, Jordan's better than Bron, and seeing that argument and people going at it and shit. Like, I hate that stuff. I hate sports hype. I hate all of it. But right now it'd be so nice to have that. And it's funny, I watched the UFC and I'm like, yeah, man, I love this. I want these guys to bang the shit out of one another. Do I also fear for their lives? Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, that's their choice. And Dana White puts it on. And so people go fight, they go fight. I watch it. It has nothing to do with me, really. You want to live your life and go fight, go fight. I don't know how to be anymore. I know that sounds strange. Because part of me wants to be like outraged and go, I can't believe these people without masks are going to fight. And then you're going to put on an event when there's a pandemic. And then there's part of me like, yeah, just fucking bleed, man. Knock the fuck out of that guy. Half genius, half meathead. I don't know who to be anymore. Do I want baseball back? Yes. Do I want baseball players to die? No. Do I think baseball players will die? No. Do I think some will get sick? Yes. Is that worth the risk? I don't know. That's up to the baseball guy. But ass fucks who were yelling, no, you got to play for the good of America and humanity. Fuck you, man. Get fucking bombed. So stupid. I don't get it. And so that's one of the things that really bothers me now is I don't know who to be. I don't know how I want to. I respect science. I respect these things. I will do what I am told in order to keep people safe. But like I said, there's also part of me that's just sitting in my house watching fucking life tick away. And I'm like, man, I got to get to the gym. I got to fucking do something. I got to get throw on a mask, two masks, three masks. So I recognize people being upset and wanting to go out and do things. But also you just, I said it earlier in the show, man, it's not about you. It's about other people. It's about you putting on a mask because some essential worker has to be there. And you're showing them just the smallest amount of possible respect you can by respecting them enough to put on a mask. Is that hard? Is that that difficult? For some people, yeah. Hopefully not for you. It's not for me. I'm not a pussy because I wear a mask. Like I said, I'm doing it because of other people. I'm unkillable. You're not going to get rid of me. This fucking germ, bring it on. I'll fucking throw a jujigatami on the motherfucker and it's not getting out. Good. You want a piece? I'll take you on, germ. You want to go, coronavirus? Step the fuck up. But I'm more worried about it like jumping on my shirt like a little pal, like the Great Gazoo, and then leaping into somebody's nose. And then everybody's like, holy shit, that guy in the shitty shirt killed somebody. See, that's why Liana steps up. She doesn't want me to get blamed for a murder because I'll be fucking pulled out of a lineup immediately. When somebody sees my shitty shirt, they're going to be like, holy shit, it was that guy. That's the dude killing everybody. That guy with the Rona shirt. Holy fuck, Liana recognized it. Get the new ones. Don't have the fucking Rona shirt out there killing everybody fucking to and fro, going to the store. Wear a nice shirt to the goddamn store. Wear a nice shirt on camera, because otherwise you're going to be Rona shirt guy who gets picked out of a fucking lineup because you killed four kids with a Rona shoulder. Do you really want to drop a Rona shoulder in somebody's face? Just fucking walking, sneezing, and fucking blowing everybody the fuck out? Put a mask on that shirt. Jesus Christ, look at that horrible fucking shirt. You got a frayed collar, you got fucking string all over the goddamn place. Put a mask on that shirt before it Ronas the fuck out of somebody at the store. Thank you, Liana. Look at you thinking of me. Understanding exactly what I need to do.
There's anything I like more than me, it's people who like me. I love me, but if you love me, I love you. Cause you know why, we both love me. How great am I? Let's talk about that for a while. And by a while, I mean forever.
Podcast.